हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। यस्माज्जातं जगत्सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। कृष्णयजुर्वेदीये तैत्तिरीयोपनिषदि द्वितीयोऽध्याये ब्रह्मानन्दवल्ल्याम् अष्टमोऽनुवाकसमाप्तौ भाष्यपाठः। We're seeing the Bhashyam, still following the 8th Anuvaka. Even though 8th commentary on 8th Anuvaka mantras is over, Bhagavad Pada, just to ascertain the teaching, refutes some views of other people. Especially, it is mainly for assimilation, mainly for clarification of doubts. And now, we are going to see the proper understanding of the Upasankramana Shrutihi. Upasankramana Shrutihi means what? Veda Upanishad mantra, wherein there is a journey, inward journey is mentioned. The discussion is on that inward journey. Before that, I want to tell you, this Jnana Karma Samuchaya Vadi, is a very strong view that karma has to be combined with the jnanam as a means of attainment of moksha. Mere jnanam is not enough for moksha. That is his strong view. And somehow to bring that idea, he presents different things. And one such thing he says is, this ignorance and knowledge are attributes of Atma. Knowing is an attribute of the Atma. Again, ignorance also is an attribute of the Atma. But what we say, absolutely there is no such thing called ignorance at all. Ignorance is only the selective. Again, knowledge is not an attribute of the Atma. But knowledge is the very Swarupam of the Atma. There is a big difference in saying, Swarupam is that which does not undergo any change whatsoever. Whereas, attribute is subject to change. Jnanam is Swarupam. Atma Jnana Swarupaha Natu Jnana Gunakaha. Atma is not, knowledge is not an attribute. Ignorance is not an attribute of the Atma. You see, what is implied by the term Atma is abstract, formless, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of timelessness and all pervasiveness. It is free from attributes, attributelessness, nirgunatvam, nirviseshatvam. Nirgunatvam, nirviseshatvam are the swarupam of the Atma. Nirgunatvam or nirviseshatvam means what? Attributelessness is the nature of the Atma. But he takes ignorance and knowledge as the attributes of the Atma. Understood? So last class we saw that. I've come to this point now. See, knowledge and ignorance are not the attributes. Why? He says, last sentence, nama rupe, knowledge and ignorance are what now? Knowledge also is an attribute belonging to the intellect. Ignorance also. Ignorance and knowledge are the attributes belonging to the intellect. Therefore, what? They are non-substantial forms and names. Knowledge does not have independent existence of its own. Ignorance does not have independent existence of its own. When I say knowledge, it's a vritti jnanam. So here, Atma is pure knowledge. The reality is pure knowledge, which is the source of existence of both knowledge and ignorance. Therefore, this pure knowledge implied by the term Atma is distinct from the known knowledge and the known ignorance. Anything known is non-substantial form and name. It's a subtle form and name. Therefore, we saw nama rupe. Only forms and name only. Savitari ahoratre iva kalpite. Just as night and day are superimposed upon the sun as his attributes, so also sun is neither the night nor the day. Sun is distinct from, sun is the very truth of both sun, day and night. The same way, Savitari, on the part of the sun, just as night and day and night are superimposed as the attributes, so also knowledge and vritti jnanam and ignorance, the phenomenon called ignorance and knowledge are superimposed upon the Atma. Really speaking, they are not attributes. Okay, kalpite means superimposed. Okay. Paramarthataha na vidyamane. What does it mean? Avidya paramarthataha na vidyamana. There is no ignorance absolutely. There is no knowledge absolutely. What we say, what is absolutely there is Brahman, and which is of nature of knowing. Brahmatma. So relative. Ignorance of anything is relative. Knowledge of anything also is relative. Okay. Now Purupakshi says, Abhede. Abhede etamanandamayamatmanamupasankramati iti karma kartrutva anupapattihi iti chet. Now Bhagavatpada presents another view of Purupakshi. The same jnana karma samuchayavadi presents his another doubt. What is the doubt? Now he picks up this sentence. Etam anandamayamatmanam upasankramati. This is a sentence. What does the sentence mean? Here, the jivatma transcends the anandamaya atma. It moves to the anandamaya atma. That's the meaning. Having said that, Purupakshi says, why the doubt comes? Jivatma and Paramatma are essentially one. Isn't it? It's what I already explained. Jivatma and Paramatma are essentially one, which means Jivaha and Paramaha are two different qualifications attributed to the one and the same Atma. There's no Jivatma or Paramatma. There's only Atma, which is Brahman. We understood many, many times. There's one abstract formless reality and which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, therefore implied by the term Atma. And the same reality is free from all limitations, therefore it's implied by the term Brahma. So Brahmatma or Brahman or Atma, whatever words we are using, those words imply one and the one secondless reality. And these two different titles, the qualifications as Jivaha and Paramaha are attributed to the Atma from the standpoint of the difference in the Upadis. Otherwise, without Upadis, like how wave and ocean are two different qualifications attributed to the one substance called water, from the standpoint of the difference in the forms. The same way, upadhi bhedat, due to the difference in the upadhi, names are different, but actually what is essentially, there's no jiva or parama, one and the same truth, Brahman, Brahmatma. That is the, if that is what is the fact, then he says, kartru karma anupapattihi. How can there be one, how can there be the difference such as subject of action and object of action? There is impossibility of subject-object division being there if Jivatma and Paramatma are essentially one. Okay? This is the meaning. So this is his question. But is there a jiva, is there a kartru karma bedaha? Kartru karma kartrutva anupapattihi. It is not possible for subject object division is to be there if jivatma and paramatma are essentially one. And how, where is the difference shown? Etaman anandamayamatmanupasankramati. If we say the jivatma transcends anandamayatma and reaches paramatma, means that the jivatma is the one reacher, paramatma is the reached. Understand, paramatma is the reached. To be reached is paramatma, and jivatma is the one who has to reach. There's a karta, the act, the doer of the act of moving is jivatma, and the reaching, isn't it? And the object of reaching is paramatma. There was kartru karma, karma kartrutva bedaha. That is not possible if jivatma and paramatma are one. Okay, this is the simple doubt. Even though it looks like a simple doubt. Already 108 times it has been explained. The word sankramanam, sankramati is a verb and sam is a prefix. Kram is the dhatu, kramati is the verb. So sankramati is the verb which means moves, goes. And sankramanam is a noun which means moving. The Pura Pakshi, this Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi, takes the meaning, literal meaning of the word sankramanam. He takes the meaning as what? The moving. That's the mukhyartha. The primary meaning of the word sankramanam is what? Moving. He takes the primary meaning. What is the implied meaning here? Transcending. Isn't it? In fact, moving here is a cognitive shift. Cognitively shifting the essence from the material body, mind, sense complex, five layers of personality to the Atma, the abstract formless reality. Is what is the meaning of the word sankramanam? We know this very well. But still he is asking this question. Therefore, Acharya gives an answer. Look at the Bhagavad Pada's answer now. Na. Na means what? No, there is no karma kartrutva bedaha. There is no such a thing as here. Such a reaching. There's no karma, there's no kartru. Karma kartva bheda is not there. Why? Because, why? He says, vijnana matratvat sankramanasya. What does it mean? Sankramanam, the word sankramanam has a status of being mere knowing, which means, is literal translation. I'm giving the literal translation first, then I give the exact meaning. The word sankramanam does not have any meaning other than knowing. Sankramanam literally means moving, but the implied, what is implied by the word sankramanam is not moving, it is knowing. Knowing is meant by the word moving. சோ விஜான மாத்திருத்வாத் விஜானம் அலோன் நோயிங் ஈஸ் தி ஓன்லி மீனிங் ஆஃப் த வேர்ட் சங்கிரமணம் நாட் மூவிங் சோ வென் யூ சே தி ஜீவாத்மா தேர்ஸ் அன் ஆஸ் தோ இன்வர்ட் ஜேர்னி ஜீவாத்மா கோஸ் ஃப்ரம் மூவ்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் அன்னமய ஆத்மா டு ஆத்மா மீன்ஸ் இட்ஸ் ஓன்லி எ காக்னிட்டிவ் ஷிஃப்ட் is transcending, thoroughly analyzing at each level, analyzing what is this physical body. First of all, one has to bring oneself to the physical body. See, one has to see the external world being object of knowledge, one's own self being distinct from the external world of objects. Seeing the distinction only, not the distance. Okay, there's no way of distancing oneself from the world. Physically distancing oneself from the world is impossible. Physically distancing oneself means what? One physical body can be kept away from another physical body, which is relative. Absolutely nothing can be distanced from anything. So here, in this analysis, one has to bring attention from the external world as an object of knowledge. One has to see oneself as the knower of the world. One has to see oneself as the knower of the world, distinguishing oneself from the known world. And that is how one has to start from again one's own physical body. One understands physical body as an object of knowledge. See, one sees oneself as the knower of the body. Even though one sees oneself as the knower of the body, one sees oneself being not distant from the physical body, but definitely distinct from the body. This is how one transcends the physical body, as leaves aside body as anatma. Body being object of knowledge is anatma. Therefore, one shifts one's identity from the grossest physical body too, and what is immediate is pranamaya. Again, this analysis happens, understand how pranamaya is also material product, is all physiological functions, and one shifts one's identity, shifts essence from, is a cognitively shifts one's essence, identity from the pranamaya to manomaya, so manomaya to vijnanamaya. At each level, there's a proper analysis happens. That's what we saw when we analyzed panchakosha, five koshas. Even anandamaya one has to arrive at. Even anandamaya, this ajnanam, in even anandamaya one has identity with the total ignorance and the bliss. And one has to transcend anandamaya also. One has to become objective towards the ajnanam also and the anandamaya. There's no physical distance, physically distancing does not happen. So cognitive discerning happens, not physical distancing does not happen. And one shifts identity from, essence from even the anandamaya kosha to atma. And what is atma there? What is identified with and what is arrived at cognitively is what is that to which the essence is cognitively shifted is abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality which can be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. This what is actually mean is the meaning of the word sankramanam. Cognitively transcending, shifting the identity, shifting the essence from the known material layers of personalities to the abstract formless consciousness. Anyway, this we understand. So Acharya says here, Vijnana Matritvat Sankramanasya I'm going to give the proper, simple, in the conventional language also I'm going to give you hereafter. Sankramanasya vijnana matram ityeva artaha. Vijnana matram is what? Knowing is the only meaning of the word sankramanam. Okay. Na jalukadivat sankramanam iha upadishyate. Come on. It is not, the meaning of the word sankramanam is not taught here as what? As movement. Movement or moving is not taught as the meaning of the word sankramanam. Movement of, like what? Movement of the jaluka. Jaluka sounds nice, nice name. Jaluka is a leech. Sanskritam names are beautiful names. Strilinga shabda. Okay? And jaluka, how does it move? Jalukayaha kramanam kathamasti. How does it move? You know, it'll hold first in one place and then it'll, next one, then it'll shift the body. It will shrink the body, it'll take it up. Like this, it'll move moving. So, jalukadivat, I don't know why Shankar Bhagavatpada, he thought of jaluka. In Kerala, there's a very damp place, a lot of jalukas in the wind, in the forest. You must have thought about it. How jaluka moves, no? It moves like this. It moves like this. So, jalukadivat, it is not, sankramanam does not mean movement, such as the movement of the leech. What he means is, mentioning jaluka, why only jaluka? All beings move, isn't it? All jangama, all living creatures, animals move. But jaluka he specially mentions. It is not a physical movement. Movement does not mean a physical movement like the movement of the leech. That is not meant by the word sankramanam. Okay. Again he says, kim tarhi, then what is it? What is the meaning of, if it is not a movement, like the movement of jaluka, leech, then what is the meaning of the word sankramanam? Kim tarhi, kaha artaha? Vijnana matram, sankramashrutehe artaha. He says, the entire Vedantic statement, Vedantic, the mantra, which discusses this topic of sankramanam, transcending, isn't it? Sankramoving. Actually means only jnanam, knowing. Vijnana matram sankramana shrutehe artaha. Sankramana shrutehe artaha vijnana matram. The word sankramanam does not mean moving or movement. There is no physical movement. It means only knowing. It means cognitive shift, intellectual shift. Okay, now, having said that, now Purupaksha simply, now Pujya Swamiji always says this, you know, when a person does not find an answer, he knows he's going to lose the game, but again trying to say something. It's like the person who is sinking in the sea, trying to hold on to something, whatever comes. Like that, something he wants to hold on to and say something, defend himself. But still illogical. Okay, what does Purupakshi says now? What does he say? Nanu mukhyameva sankramanam shruyate. What? He says, the meaning of your sankramanam is actually moving. That is the main meaning. So, mukhyam eva shruyate, mukhyartha eva shruyate. The main primary meaning of the word sankramanam is moving. That alone is actually heard from the Upanishad. That alone is understood from the Upanishad. He says, upasankramati iti chet. Because அன்னமயமாத்மானமுபசங்கிராமதி, பிராணமயமாத்மானமுபசங்கிராமதி, விஞ்ஞானமயமாத்மானமுபசங்கிராமதி, ஆனந்தமயமாத்மானுபசங்கிராமதி, கண்டினியூஸ்லி உபசங்கிராமதி உபசங்கிராமதி உபசங்கிராமதி. தட் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் ஹர்ட் அண்ட் எவ்ரி டைம் வி ஹியர் திஸ் வேர்ட் உபசங்கிராமதி, இட் மீன்ஸ் மூவ்ஸ் மூவ்ஸ், ஜீவாத்மா மூவ்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் அன்னமயா டு பிராணமயா, பிராணமயா டு விஜயானமயா, விஜயானமயா டு மனோமயா டு ஆனந்தமயா, விஜயானமயா விஜயானமயா டு ஆனந்தமயா, ஆனந்தமயா டு ஆத்மா. சோ we only hear the main primary meaning of moving here in this Upanishad. What he says, upasankramati 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 iti eva sankramanam mukhya mukhyam eva shruyate, means what the primary meaning alone is heard, understood. Acharya says, tremendous patience Shankara Bhagavatpada must have had, isn't it? How many times to tell you, he doesn't get upset or angry. He himself presents this. That's why we say, this is all for mananam. Mananam, so again, we should not come back with such doubts at all. He says, what's the siddhanti? Nadvaita siddhanti's answer is what? No. The mukhyartaha, the primary meaning should not be taken. The meaning moving should not be taken. Annamaye adarshanat. Na mukhyameva sankramanam. The words are not very clear, explicit. Na mukhyam means what? Primary meaning is not the meaning of the word sankramanam. The primary meaning in terms of moving is not the meaning of the word sankramanam. Having said that, annamaye adarshanat, because such physical movement is not seen with reference to annamaya. What does it mean? Physical movement is not seen means what? When the person begins his analysis, when a person begins his analysis, starts seeing the meaning of this whole, the upasankramana shrutihi, first of all, the person brings his, okay, he shifts his identity. A person does not identify oneself with the external physical world. Any object perceived does not identify himself with that. And then what? Where does the person bring his identity to? He brings identity to the physical body. When you say a person has identifies oneself with the physical body, when you say a person has essence in the physical body, when you say it is not physically bringing something from the external world to the body. It is intellectual, isn't it? If a person mistakes the physical body for the self, what does it mean? Does he physically move somewhere? A person has identity of the physical body means he has essence in the physical body, that's all. Having essence in the physical body is having identity of the physical body, means taking the physical body as the meaning of the word I. Here, taking the physical body as the meaning of the word I is not involve any movement. Is it clear now? There's no physical movement. It is only cognitive appreciation. Of course, erroneous, but still. What he says, annamaye adarshanat. So, na mukhyameva sankramanam. These sentences won't be very, very clear. The main meaning is not the meaning of the word sankramanam. Okay. Again he says, nahi annamayam upasankramataha bahyat asmat lokat jalukavat sankramanam drishyate. I should show you many jalukas in when you come next time to Kerala, that place. Okay. So jaluka vatu sankramanam na drishyate. Definitely physical movement. Physical movement, like the physical movement of the leech, is not meant. When a wise person, okay, even sees the objective world, sees the external world, as when the wise person becomes objective towards the external world and brings attention to the physical body, even then he does not understand. There's no physical movement involved. Bahyat asmat lokat annamayam upasankramataha sankramanam na drishyate. The person shifting his identity, bringing his attention from the external world to the physical body, and when he transcends the physical body, there's no physical movement seen. It is purely cognitive. Does it make sense? Unless you move your heads, I can't go ahead. Okay. Now Purupakshi says, okay, somehow he wants to take the meaning, the movement meaning, okay, the moving. Purupakshi wants to take the meaning that of the word, that the sankramanam, the meaning of the word sankramanam, as only moving, not as knowing. So now he says, okay, mind goes out, doesn't it? So he says, manomayasya bahirgatasya vijnanamayasya va. Is it now mind or intellect goes out? He says, mind goes out, intellect goes out. Okay. Mind or intellect? Manomayasya bahirgatasya vijnanamayasya va punaha pratyavritya atma sankramanam iti chet. Is it possible to say, he says, then why should we not take it that the mind goes out, attention, okay, the mind comes back to the physical body, and then mind goes out, mind comes back to the physical body, and then it transcends the physical body, it transcends the then pranamaya, then comes back to itself, isn't it? Which means, even then, Acharya is saying, that's also not correct. Look at this. Pratyavritya atma samkramanam iti chet. There is movement. He says, na. Attention of the mind goes out and comes back, isn't it? Attention can go, but not the mind. He says mind goes out and comes back. I tell you, if your mind goes out, that is death. Mindless physical body will be a dead body. Mind goes out means all subtle aspects will go. Karmendriyani, Gyanendriyani, Pancha Pranaha, all 15 will say bye and go along with the mind. Body will be dead. And body has been sent for cremation only. So, Purupakshi's understanding is wrong. So, he says here, manomayasya bahirgatasya vijnanamayasya va punaha pratyavritya atmasankramanam. Then mind goes out, comes back, and whatever, mind again transcends the, mind moves from physical body to pranamaya and pranamaya to manomaya, he says. Some understanding. Shankaracharya says, come on, na. Swatmani kriya virodhat. See, if at all we take it, mind goes out, comes to physical body, and pranamaya means the mind has to, what about manomaya? Manomaya is different from annamaya. Therefore, manomaya can come back to, manomaya can move to physical body, annamaya. And from annamaya, manomaya can go to pranamaya. Again, the next thing is what? Manomaya. So Manomaya cannot come back to Manomaya. That's a problem. How can Manomaya will be the reacher? How Manomaya itself cannot be the reached. Manomaya cannot be the subject of the act of reaching and the object of act of reaching. Therefore, talking about taking Manomaya's movement as the meaning of the word Sankramanam is also wrong. Taking the movement of Manomaya as the meaning of the word Sankramanam is also wrong. Or taking the meaning of Manomaya as the movement of the intellect is also wrong. Nothing moves here. Here Sankramanam is a cognitive shift, it's simply knowing. So Swatmani Kriya Virodhat means what? See, mind being taken as the subject of the act of reaching, and mind being taken as the object of the act of reaching, what is contradictory, isn't it? It's called Virodha. Virodha means there is contradiction in saying. As there is contradiction in saying that mind itself being both object and subject of the act of moving. Okay. Some we have to be very patient to bear with this portion of the Bhashyam. Okay. Get it over now soon. Anyaha annamayam anyam upasankramati iti prakritya Manomayaha vijnanamayaha va swatmanameva upasankramati iti virodaha syat. See, Sacharya again makes it very clear. There will be virodaha syat means what? There is contradiction. There will be contradiction. Syat taken as asti, virodaha asti. There is contradiction in saying that this atma or intellect, mind or intellect, is different from the Annamaya. So it moves to Annamaya, and from Annamaya it moves to Pranamaya, and Pranamaya to Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, etc. Then there, Swatmanameva Upasankramati iti Virodaha. There's contradiction in saying the Manomaya or Vijnanamaya is the subject and the object of the act of reaching. This is the meaning. Some other small doubt, because people talk about mind moving, isn't it? Mind goes and mind comes, etc. Mind cannot leave. Vrittis rise in the waking state and go. Vrittis come back. Vrittis pervade. But the mind itself cannot go. Mind is inexplicably subtlest material product. That's why understanding mind itself is not easy. We have to understand mind only with reference to Atma. Okay, with reference to our experiences. Okay. Therefore, mind doesn't go, mind cannot go. No. At last, finally, he's concluding the topic. The boring, not boring, I can't say. Of course, we already, subject matter is very clear for us. The teaching is very clear. Sometimes Bhashyam takes our attention somewhere else and brings it back. No, parisesyat. See, parisesyaha means what? Parisesyaha means exclusion. Parisishyati remains exclusively. Parisesha means what? Parisesha means law of exclusion. Okay. So parisesyat. Now finally, what do we understand here? The word upasankramanam does not mean moving. Even though literally the word upasankramanam means moving, does not mean moving. அன்னமயாதி ஆனந்தமயாந்த ஆத்ம வியதிரிக்த கர்த்ருக்கம் ஞான மாத்திரம் ச சங்கிரமணம் உபபத்யதே. So by the law of exclusion, Pariseshyatu, by the remaining rule, or by the law of exclusion, what is understood? Annamayadi Anandamayanta Atma Vyatirikta Kartrikam. That is the one who transcends from the Annamaya physical body to Anandamaya. Annamaya to Anandamaya is distinct from all these five koshas: Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. Annamaya Adi Anandamaya Anta Vyatirikta Kartrikam. So that which is involved in this transcending is distinct from the five koshas, beginning from Annamaya to Anandamaya, which are transcended. So that which is involved in transcending is distinct from the transcended five koshas, beginning from Annamaya to Anandamaya. Therefore, and that which transcends being distinct from the transcended five koshas, the word sankramanam, the possible meaning of the word sankramanam is only knowing. Jnana matram sankramanam upapadyate. There's no literal, even in Swamiji's book, there's no literal translation. Okay? You can see that. The only implied meaning is given. Upapadyate means possible. It is possible. What is possible? Sankramanam jnana matram. The meaning of the word sankramanam is merely knowing. There's no movement. It does not mean the movement. Is neither physical movement or not intellectual or emotional movement. Okay? It's only knowing, merely knowing. Okay. So, that is why already I said, when you say Annamaya to Anandamaya, when this inward journey happens, means his jiva, the individual, this objectively seen. What is seen? You see the whole individual. Every individual human being is a composite of many factors. Isn't it? That is one of the factors is what? I sense. The first and the foremost and the most important of the factors which constitute the human being is I sense. The knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, isn't it? What is the individual? Apart from physical body, then physiological functions, then karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, you antakarnam, you understand emotions, subtle thought forms, then memory, manaha, the buddhi, the chittam, nahankara, that's all. These are all the physical aspects. And you need this manaha is a wonderful thing, because that is where manifestation of pure knowledge is possible. The pure knowledge, the pure consciousness needs this mind for its manifestation. That's why pure consciousness is dependent on the subtle material product, mind, for its manifestation. Whereas matter in subtle form or gross form is heavily dependent, absolutely dependent on consciousness for its very existence. That is why we say anatma is mithya, atma is satyam. But they are not two different things also. We understand very well. And here, what is an individual, if you analyze, just take on, it's called, is it? What is an individual? Jivatma surupa vicharaha. If we do, we inquiry into self-enquiry, into the nature of the individual. What is the individual? You see, all these anatma aspects up to the ahankara and atma, the pure consciousness, together constitute an individual. But it is inseparably united. Consciousness, being all pervasive, is there inseparably. You cannot differ. It's like light and opaque things are physically inseparable. So also it's the abstract reality which is of nature of knowing, and the known anatma aspects are physically inseparable. That's why the shit has, but where is that reality available for recognition, even though it's all pervasive? Reality is all pervasive. Being abstract, being subtlest, is all pervasive. Being it pervades the even sense powers, pervades the time, pervades the space, pervades all subtle aspects as the very truth, very existence. Being the very existence and truth, it is not an object. Therefore, no pramanam can be operated here. And the reality is available for recognition only in antakkaram. So, yoveda nihitam guhayam, we understood. Has been made very clear. So, what has been already taught in the very beginning? Yoveda nihitam guhayam, satyam gnanam anantam brahma. That brahma, to arrive at it, what has already, the panchakosha prakriya has been explained. Now again is made very clear. This upasankramana shrutihi is presented by the Upanishad. The statement of the Vedantic statement, which discusses the cognitive, the need for the cognitive shift to happen. To arrive at exactly what is the content of I, what is that we should be claimed as one's own self, is abstract formless consciousness. The satyam should be claimed. Mithya anatma should be seen as only manifestation, appearance. Therefore, the effort is made here. Therefore, and the eye sense is strongly identified with the physical body. Again, it is shifted from there. And after analysis, it becomes objective towards the physical body. So becoming objective towards the physical body through the analysis of the body and shifting the eye sense cognitively from the physical body to the pranamaya is what? Upasankramanam. This only understanding, throughout this understanding. Knowledge. The way it's called cognitive shift. And again, intellectually you shift identity from the pranamaya to manomaya. Once you analyze the manomaya also, they understand manomaya, the pranamaya being material, the functions happening, the part of the material vital air. Then we shift identity from the manomaya to vijnanamaya. The same way, at every level, we understand all these material aspects, subtle or gross. All of them are material products. They're all objects of knowledge. That's how eye sense is cognitively shifted from anatma, pranamaya, to manomaya, to vijnanamaya, even to anandamaya. Again, becoming objective towards subtle mind is the most difficult thing. Not easy. That's what we are seeing in Kena Upanishad, isn't it? We know how to arrive at it. We saw that beautifully. And here again, even Anandamaya. Anandamaya also, avidya. Anandamaya kosha is nothing but avidya. There's a total ignorance. And the total ignorance is what? Is there. And there's also when there's a, in non-identity, there's a bliss also. Experience is there. And one has become objective towards that also. And when you become, when you see how the possibility of becoming objective towards the total ignorance and the bliss experienced as the knower of that total ignorance and the bliss is distinct from that known. That knower, if you search for who that knower is, the knower is only qualification attributed to the absolute abstract reality. From the standpoint of the known total ignorance, that knower is abstract, formless, attributeless reality. And the knower qualification is attributed from the standpoint of the known total ignorance because of its nature of knowing, not because of its action. So knowing is not an action because no pramanam is used, operated, no will is used, no effort is made, simply sannidhi matrena, but mere presence reality knows. The total ignorance. That is swarupam, isn't it? This is how cognitive shift has to happen. And this is, the word sankramanam means merely cognitively shifting the identity from anatma, body, mind and complex, the panchakoshas, to abstract, formless consciousness. Isn't it? So it is, it means purely knowing. That is the meaning. Okay. Now, finally, jnanamatre. Very nice. Now that sort of slightly confusing, boring parts are over. Jnanamatre cha. Anandamaya antasthasya eva sarvantarasya akashadi annamayantam karyam srishtva anupravishtasya hrdeguha abhisambandhat annamayadishu atmasu atmavibhramaha sankramanena atmaviveka vijnana utpatya vinashyati. Now he explains, listen to me carefully, the whole paragraph in one long sentence, Bhagavad Pada makes it very clear how the Sankramana, analysis of Sankramana Shrutihi helps us in resolving the confusion. See that sentence now? Let us start from the, yes. Sankramanena vinashyati. Can you all see that? Do you all see that sentence? Sankramanena vinashyati. Perishes. Perishes by what? Sankramanena. By this, through this analysis of each layer of personality, each kosha thoroughly, and by shifting the essence cognitively from the anatma to atma, carefully, okay, by knowing, by understanding, sankramanena, kim vinashyati, vibhramaha vinashyati. Vibhramaha vinashyati, confusion perishes. Confusion becomes resolved. Kim kaha vibhramaha, what is the confusion? Anatmasu atma vibhramaha. Confusion in terms of mistaking the anatma for the atma, erroneous perception of the atma. Confusion in terms of the erroneous perception of the atma or having identity with the anatma. Anatmasu atma vibhramaha. Sankramanena vinashyati. Katham is sankramanena. Atma viveka vijnana utpatya. Very important word. Atma viveka vijnana utpatihi. Do you find that word there? See, before Vinashyati, please see that Atma Viveka Vijnana Utpatya. There is Utpattihi. There is a rise. By the rise of, due to the rise of Viveka Vijnanam, discriminative knowledge. There is rise of discriminative knowledge of Atma. Atma Viveka Vijnana Utpatya, there rises, what now? Discriminative knowledge of the Atma. Means what, how Atma is, Atma being distinct from the Anatma. Knowledge of the Atma being distinct from the Anatma, though not distant. The distance is there, then we don't need to break our heads to understand. See, if two hands are different. One is different from the other. There's a distance between the two. Therefore, we don't mistake one for the other. We know this is different from this is different. But the problem is, there's no distance between Atma and Anatma, Satyam and Mithya. Just as there's no distance between water and the ocean, there's no distance between water and the waves, there's no distance between space and the objects that exist in space. There's no distance between the light and the opaque things which are illumined, which shine in the light, presence of the light. There's no physical distance. Distancing is not possible. But we have to discern. It's called in Tamil, we say, pahuttu aridal. Isn't it? Discern. Cognitively discerning. This is the water is distinct from the wave. Non-substantial form, name and function called wave. This is what is called Viveka Vijnanam. Understand now? It's called Viveka Vijnanam. In the same way, he says, Viveka Vijnana Utpatti, there has to rise what? This discerned knowledge, isn't it? Discriminative knowledge of the Atma being distinct from the Anatma. Panchakoshas, isn't it? This has to happen. Therefore, he says, Atma Viveka Vijnana Utpatya, a result of the rising of the discriminative knowledge of the Atma being distinct from the five koshas, the confusion in terms of mistaking the Anatma for the Atma perishes. Correct? The meaning of the last sentence. Now, and where is the mistake? What is mistaken for the Atma? What are all mistaken for the Atma? That is explained first. Anandamaya, we can say, Akashadi, what is it mistaken for the Anatma? If he says, now first he talks about the Atma here. Anandamaya antastaha Atma. Who is this Atma? Anandamaya antastaha. I am breaking this whole paragraph. It's Anandamaya antastasya. It's the first word, isn't it? You take nominative case of the Anandamaya antastaha. Anandamaya antastaha means the abstract formless reality implied by the term Atma obtaining in. Obtaining within the Anandamaya. Anandamaya antastha means what? That which is distinct from even Anandamaya. So Atma, the abstract reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of even Anandamaya. Obtaining as the knower of the Anandamaya. Understand now? Anandamaya antastaha Atma. That Atma alone is what? Sarvantaraha. It is that Atma, the abstract formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is distinct from Anandamaya, is Sarvantaraha, is internal to all the koshas. See, that which is internal to Anandamaya is internal to what? All other koshas, sarvantaraha. And that sarvantaraha, Anandamaya antastaha atma alone, what did it do? Akashadi annamayantam karyam srishtva sujati. So, right from the space onwards, all elements, akasha adi, annamayantam karyam srishtva, having created the entirety of the objective universe, including what? The physical body, such as even elements, etc. Akashadi annamayantam karyam srishtva. The word karyam means effect, stands for the universe. Having created the objective universe, the entity of the objective universe, such as space, etc., up to the even the physical body, the product of annam. Akashadi annamayantam karyam srijati. Ka srijati? Brahmatma. Srijati means what? Brings universe into manifestation. Okay. Anandamayantastaha atma, sarvantaraha atma. It is this atma. Now you know the meaning of the word anandamayaha. Sorry, anandamaya antastaha. Anandamayasya antaha tishtati. Anandamayasya antaha tishtati iti anandamaya antastaha. Anandamaya antastaha atma. Atma is internal to Atma is the very truth which is distinct from even the anandamaya. Means what? That which is distinct from total ignorance. That which is distinct from the bliss experienced. You say distinct. Anandamaya antastaha means the abstract reality which knows the total ignorance. Not by doing something, by its mere presence. That which is distinct from the experiencer of the ignorance and the bliss is anandamaya antastaha. And that antastha, that atma is sarvantaraha. Now what did it do? Akashadi annamayantam karyam srishtva. Having created the entire objective universe, right from space, etc., up to the physical body. So, akasha stands for the beginning, subtlest of the elements. Then annamaya is said, what? Everything, all living beings also. Akashadi annamayantam karyam srishtva means it is this Brahmatma which alone. See, our Brahmatma is not the creator. But without Brahmatma, there cannot be the origination of the universe. That the creator status is attributed to Brahmatma from the standpoint of the objective universe. Brahmatma is not the creator, but there is no creator other than the Atma. Understand? It's only temporary qualification. So, akashadi annamayantam karyam srishtva. Having created this universe, then what does it do? Anupravishtaha. So, srishtavan, anupravishtavan. Who is it who has entered into the creation? Anupravishtaha. It is the same Atma is as though has entered into the creation. So, anandamaya antastaha Atma, sarvantaraha Atma, created the universe, and having created, entered into the universe as it were. Has not really entered, need not enter, cannot enter because all pervasive. All pervasiveness being the very nature, Atma is as though entered into the creation. Anupravishtaha. And having entered there, where is it available for recognition? Hridaya guha abhisambandhat. Abhisambandha. Abhisambandha means what? Atma has inseparable, intimate, close connection with the cave of intellect. Kridaya guha abhisambandhat. Why? Because why hridaya guha abhisambandha? We say reality is abstract, formless, all pervasive. It must be there everywhere. But it is manifested only in the mind. Hridaya guha. In the cave of the antakarnam alone. It is manifested because of the subtleness of the matter. Because of this manifestation in, because of the inseparable intimate closeness with the antakaranam, the cave of antakaranam, hridaya guha, there it obtains, it manifests what reality is there in the form of what? Manifested in knowledge. In terms of the knowledge of self-existence, knowledge of the existence of the world. So you can never arrive at the reality directly. Reality is available for recognition in the form of what? In the form of the manifestation of knowledge of self-existence and the existence of the world. Therefore, what happens now? Being manifested there, because of the inseparability, because of the distancelessness, because of the closest proximity, annamayadishu anatmasu. Because of being available there, being having manifested in the antakarnam, being available for recognition in the antakarnam, because of this close connection, what happens now? Annamayadisu anatmasu. In all the anatma material aspects, such as annamaya, etc. In all the anatma aspects, such as annamaya, etc., physical body, etc., there is self-confusion in terms of the erroneous perception of the Atma, Anatma as the Atma, Atma-vibhramaha. That Atma-vibhramaha vinashyati, that confusion perishes in spite of seeing the in spite of seeing the consciousness, abstract reality consciousness being inseparable from the subtle, subtler, subtlest and the gross, grosser, grossest matter, material forms, names and functions. It is possible for one to discern cognitively how Atma, the consciousness, is Satyam and how Anatma is Mithya and how it is non-separate from Atma, its only appearance. Understand? This confusion perishes. Mistaking the Anatma for the Atma, the erroneous perception of the self really goes away. When Atma Vijnana Utpatya. So Atma Vijnana Utpatya Katam happens through this analysis. Understanding the meaning of the word Sankramanam is for resolving this confusion. So understanding of the meaning of the word Sankramanam results in the rising of the discriminative understanding of the Atma being distinct from the Anatma. Thereby the erroneous error in the perception resolves. Is it clear? This, what is the exact meaning? You cannot make it better than this. It is not something I can make it nicer. No. Pujya Swamiji always used to say, in Vedanta class, we should not use too many adjectives. No adjectives. because adjectives can be used in all description. Any word, extra word used, you can be confusing it. You'll be only confusing. I used to say this also. No physics teacher can use any adjectives. No mathematics teacher can use adjectives in class. You can't say beautiful, thin, one number one came. No, not necessary. Straight away, one means one. That's all. But here, so, sankramanena atma viveka vijnana utpattihi. By this cognitively, carefully, gradually shifting one's identity from anatma to atma, there rises the clear discriminative knowledge of the atma being distinct from the anatma, thereby the confusion in terms of mistaking anatma for the atma perishes, means resolves.
Swaminiji.
Yeah?
Jnana matre, I guess it means atma. At the beginning of the line, jnana matre tu echa.
Yeah, jnana matre means what? Simply by knowing. See, only in knowing. See, jnane means in knowing. Jnana matre means what? In only knowing alone, confusion perishes. See, always we say, you need only jnanam, no karma. Don't forget, Shankara Bhagavatpada is refuting poor jnana karma samuchayavadi's view. So he has to make it very clear, jnane, jnana matre. He has to say that, no, there's no need for any effort, any action, anything to be combined here. What you need for resolving the confusion and delusion is only jnanam. Jnana matrecha. Only in knowing vinashyati. Anatmasu atma vibhramaha vinashyati. Kidusheshu anatmasu annamayadishu anatmasu. There is atma vibhrama. Annamayadishu anatmasu atma vibhramaha asti. That is delusion, this confusion with reference to all these five koshas such as annamaya, etc. Annamayadayaha anatmanaha. Physical body, physiological functions, sense organs, organs of actions, manaha, buddhi, chitta, ahankara, everything is what? Anatma only. In all these anatmasu, in all these koshas which are non-self, anatmasu, atma vibhramaha, the strong confusion that I am this strong identity, I sense is strongly rooted in these anatmas. That vibhramaha, that confusion in terms of the erroneous perception of the atma, anatma is the atma, perishes when there is rise of the clear discriminative understanding of atma being distinct from the anatma through this sankramana, through this cognitive shift. Is it clear? By this cognitive shift, through this cognitive shift, this confusion resolves. So clarity will be there. So atma, anatma, viveka, jnanam will be there. And then one can see there's no anatma really, there's only atma. In spite of seeing water and the waves, we should not even use the word and. And can be used, only the two things are there. More than one thing is there and can be used. Seeing water in the form of ocean and waves, one can see how the waves and ocean are just appearance of the only truth which is water. The same way here, we must be able to see the entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, mind, and scope, which is the problem is very difficult for us to shift identity from anatma. So including one's body, mind, and scope, one has to be able to see how it is all appearance in the consciousness. There's no atma and anatma. Anatma is just that which appears in, exists as though in the awareness. Tametam nirvikalpam atmanam evam kramena upasankramya. Acharya carefully writes, upasankramya is equal to viditva. Na bibheti kutaschana. Now finally, Acharya presents the benefit of discerning the Atma from Anatma. Benefit of shifting the identity, analyzing the koshas, shifting cognitively the identity from Anatma to Atma. What's the benefit? He says, na bibheti. A person does not fear, does not become frightened. He overcomes fear for good. I tell you many times in my class, the phenomenon called fear will disappear from the dictionary of a wise person. Isn't it? So, na bibheti. Katam na bibheti viditva. Viditva means what? Having known. Having understood. So this is what is the meaning of the word upasankramya. Having transcended. Having transcended means upakramya, upakramya, me upasankramya. Upasam, two prefixes. Upasankramya lyabanta shabdaha. Isn't it? Kramati, kramati, sankramati, sankramati, upasankramati, upasankramati. Upasankramya, having mood, literal meaning, having shifted the essence, having transcended, having cognitively shifted one's identity from, that's the meaning. Upasankramya means having known. Upasankramya is equal to viditva. Katham viditva, how can you understand? Evam kramena, in this manner. In which manner? We have understood already. Analyzing each kosha, each aspect of the individual. If every individual human being is a composite of many factors, analyzing each factor, which is easily known to us, isn't it? It is called Akanksha Paddhati. The method of arriving at the unknown through the known. Isn't it? You analyze what is known, you have to take and analyze. Analyze the annamaya, the physical body, analyze the physiological functions, analyze the mind, emotions, analyze the intellect, then analyze the ignorance, what is available for at every level of experience. You analyze what is being experienced. And you shift what you discern the knower experiencer from the known and the experience. And you have to stumble upon what? Who is this after transcending the object of experience at each level of experience? What you cannot negate is what? As experienced. What cannot be abadhitam. What cannot be negated as object of knowledge and experience is the experiencer alone remains. Nothing beyond the experiencer. The experience is beyond every experience and every object of experience. Analyze the experiencer, the word experiencer will resolve only in abstract formless reality. This is what is stumbling upon the truth, isn't it? So, we say, evam kramena, in this manner, in this process. This is the process, okay? Evam Kramena, this is a Shastra taught process. Evam Kramena, in this manner, Nirvikalpam Atmanam. What is Atmanam? All pervasive abstract reality implied by the term Atma, which is free from divisions. Nirvikalpaha Atma. Vikalpaha means division. Nirvikalpaha Atma. Once you arrive at the reality, distinguishing it from everything, Anatma, and you can understand reality being formless, reality being nameless, reality being divisionless, reality being one, reality being free from differences. Of course, the abstract consciousness is one, all pervasive, and is indivisible, undivided, partless, divisionless. Isn't it? Therefore, we say what? Nirvikalpam Atmanam. You see all vikalpas, divisions. When the identity is anatma, body, mind, and complex, you will see all the divisions. The divisions are relative. Absolutely, there is non-divisionless consciousness, divisionless atma. Reality is free from divisions. But divisions are relatively real within the realm of anatma, prapancha, material world. Only within the realm of the material world of objects, we can see relative divisions. Absolutely, the standpoint of Atma, there's only one divisionless reality. Therefore, he says, Tam etam Atmanam. Why Tam etam? Tam means him, that Atma. Why etam? That Brahmatma, which is the only truth of the entirety of the cosmos, a person arrives at as the nearest truth, as the immediate self, as the very content of I. That's why etam, tam and etam, the two words are there. Tam means him, that him. Etam means this him. Here the him means what here? Atmanam. Having arrived at that Brahmatma, the truth of the entity of the cosmos, as the nearest self, obtaining as the innermost essence, as the very content of I, which is free from divisions, Nirvikalpam Atmanam. How can I only in this manner? Evam Kramena. This is the way. Understand? That is why simply sit and practice meditation. You will never stumble upon it. You need to know this method, how to arrive at it. Evam Kramena, in this manner, having arrived at that Atma, a person, Nabibheti, the Jnana Phalam is mentioned. Why? In Jnanam, absolutely, there is no second thing. There is only Atma, which is the very existence of Anatma Prapancha. So Anatma Prapancha is Mithya because it exists where? Only in Atma. Like waves exist in water, the entire Anatma Prapancha, including one's body, mind, and complex, exists in this abstract, formless, divisionless reality. Having understood that oneness, secondlessness, non-duality of the reality, in this manner, having discerned it from the koshas, a person does not fear anymore. From anything, kutaschanana bibiti, does not fear anymore from anything. Kutaschana means nothing in the world can cause fear. Thereby, what happens? Abhayam pratishtham vindate. Abhayam pratishtham vindate. A person attains abidance in fearlessness. See, attaining abidance in fearlessness is nothing but abiding in oneself. Abidance in one's own self is attaining abidance in oneself. Fearlessness. So what does it mean? Just being oneself is kind of swasthanam. So, sthan, what is your place? What is the place of the wave? The place of the wave is titarangasya swasthanam jalam. Isn't it? The wave form cannot resolve anywhere other than the water. Swasthanam, its own existence, its own place, abode. Swasthanam. So what is swasthanam for I? This I, first person singular pronoun, I, expressed is a word, unexpressed is a cognition. What is the source of this cognition? I. There's a vritti and consciousness. Vritti is mithya. Conscious. Therefore, the swasthanam of I for every individual, for every being in the world is consciousness, pure awareness, atma. Understand? Swasthanam. But so, that's what is being yourself. We say wave is water, like that I am consciousness, that is self-abidance. Aham Brahma Asmi is what? Abidance in one's own self is attainment of abidance in fearlessness. So, abhayam pratishtham vindate iti etasmin arthe api yeshaha shlokaha bhavati. Now he says that ninth anuvaka begins with a beautiful rig mantraha. And that rig mantraha actually is going to reveal this fact of a wise person enjoying self-abidance, wise person attaining abidance in fearlessness. The person who knows, having known this, known the Atma, the divisionless Atma, in this manner, a person does not fear from anything, anywhere. And he attains abidance in fearlessness. He has self-abidance, he abides in one's own self. Iti etasmin arthe. Okay, so revealing this fact, there is a following rig mantra present in the ninth anuvaka, which we'll see tomorrow. Okay. Sarvasya eva asya prakaranasya. Again he says, sarvasya eva asya prakaranasya. Of this entire prakaranam, entire second section, entire eighth section. Ananda valyarthasya sankshepataha prakashanaya yeshaha mantraha bhavati. He says, and here follows a mantra, rig mantra, in the ninth anuvaka. Here follows the rig mantra in the ninth anuvaka. For, what is mantra for? Mantra is for bringing into light, for illumining, for revealing briefly. Sankshepataha prakashanaya, for briefly revealing the meaning of the Anandavalli. And this entire section. Sarvasya eva asya prakaranasya anandavalli arthasya sankshepataha prakashanaya yeshaha mantraha bhavati. So what you understood already is going to be much clearer in the following section, because the following section begins the rig mantra, which is specifically for revealing briefly the content of the entire section, the entire Anandavalli. Understand? Okay. Sarvasya eva asya prakaranasya anandavalyarthasya sankshepataha prakashanaya yeshaha mantraha bhavati. Kimartam yeshaha mantraha bhavati. What is the purpose? The following mantra is going to reveal the essence of the content of, essence of this entire section, which is going to present summary of the Anandavalli also. Iti ashtamonuvaka bhasham samaptam. So see you all tomorrow for this Upanishad class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.